On the next CSI, somebody has dropped the kids off at the pool, and only David Caruso can make sure they wipe it up. On CSI, Miami, what do we got?
Well, Horatio, when a police officer caught this kid trying to break into his car, the kid messed his pants.
Well, I guess the officer wasn't the only one on duty. David Caruso is following his nose to the one suspect who made a number two on CSI Miami.
Horatio, the kid's attorney is claiming the excrement found at the scene doesn't match the evidence from the suspect's shorts.
Well, I'd hate to dump the charges, but this case depends on the lab making the link to the kid and his log. David Caruso is out to scoop up the bad guys on the next CSI Miami.
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it. So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
For the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, May 5th. We're live in the studio. Kara's finishing up her breakfast just in time for the show.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, what are you having there?
That's just like a little breakfast burrito.
Breakfast burrito from Taco Bell?
Yep, $1.69.
Really? Uh-huh.
Get it with just no sauce, just the eggs and the cheese and the burrito.
Uh-huh.
Pretty basic.
So how is it a burrito? Just because of, I mean, it doesn't have anything that a burrito usually does.
Well, I mean, it's a breakfast burrito. It's got eggs, cheese, and it's wrapped in a tortilla.
Tortilla.
Some people like to say tortilla. I like to say tortilla.
Tortilla. Huh?
And add a little mild sass to it. And you get yourself a little breakfast for $1.69. Everybody's happy and you're not sitting here starving. Anyway, so praise the Lord. Happy to see
Hallelujah.
You. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the
God
Lord.
God is good. God is good. Every day is a new day. I'm grateful to be alive. Are you grateful to be? Do you wake up happy to be alive?
Yeah.
I do too, man.
That's what I...
Some days, not so much, but generally I do.
Yeah, well, when it's hard for me to get up in the morning, then it takes me a while to feel that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I am. I mean, when you think about it, you know, I mean, we go to sleep, we're in another planet, another world altogether. Then we come back and we start over, you know?
That's actually cool. When I think about it. That is actually pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Like we
check out for a few hours, you know?
I know. Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah.
We wake up back and, gosh, it's so interesting. Man, time travel trips me out.
Yeah.
Anyway, but no, I just sometimes I wake up and I'm like, man, thank you, Lord, just for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I got a bed. I like my bed. I got a room, even though I share a room with Sarah.
Yeah.
We do. I know it's a little janky, but that's what you do out in L.A. when you're trying to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have so much fun.
Yeah.
Literally, they come and jump on my bed when I'm trying to sleep.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
We have so much fun.
Yeah. That's cool.
It's really loving. It's very loving. It's like, especially if you don't have a strong sense of family. Like my family, I love my family, but we're distant. You know, we don't live together, and you know, I wasn't close to a lot of them growing up. And so when you live in like an apartment of community with other people, you kind of get that sense of, you know, family and come in and run and jump on your bed when you're trying to sleep. And then Sarah's super tall. She's 6'2" without heels.
Right.
And so our beds are kind of connected at the base. So like, we're at an L shape in a room. Like I'm one wall, she's one wall, and our feet connect to the end, you know? And she's, sorry, y'all, just burped, sorry. Anyway, that was really good for but no, she's like, her big ass feet sometimes overlap onto my bed. Because she's freaking huge.
Really?
And I'll, when I feel her feet, I'll just start like smacking her feet with my foot, like, get your feet off my freaking bed. Yeah. Like, pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, she's got long legs.
She does. She can't help it, but they look good.
Yeah.
But no, it's funny because then we get into like foot wars. It's just fun. Yeah. Just like, I feel like sometimes I'm like, man, my life is so good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not obviously rich or anything, but man, I have so much fun.
Yeah, it's not about the money. You know?
No, I mean, I know, but I
get up in the morning and say, hey, I'm happy to be alive.
I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for what I have. I'm so grateful. Like sometimes I just go, man, I live in the most beautiful place. Great friends. You know, I mean, nothing's guaranteed to you. So you never know if you're going to get anything physically happen to you. You never know if you're going to lose everything. You never know if somebody's going to die. You just have to be grateful for what you have. And
you
find,
do. You
and
do.
Find, like, the good things that God has given you or the things that are there that, you know, you're able to enjoy and just be grateful. That's what I think. It makes you feel rich. Like, I feel rich. I'm not physically, like, money-wise. But I feel wealthy. I get to do great, fun things.
Yeah.
I go on all these adventures. And sometimes Sarah and I just look at us, we're like, this is our life. We're like, can you believe it?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, if you can have fun without money, I mean, that's, you know, that's a good thing.
I'm just always getting invited to do fun things and meet people. And I'm just like, man, how is this happening to me?
Yeah.
Like, when is a plug going to get pulled? That's what Sarah and I say. We're like, when's the plug going to get pulled? Somebody's going to be like, you're having too much fun. I'm having fun all the time, Sam. All the freaking time. Even in my car by myself.
Well, that's good. You see, you're very fortunate that way. You can entertain yourself.
Man, I had a good show last night.
You did?
Yeah.
So you went all the way to San Diego last night.
Santiago.
How long did it take to get there?
Man, it was rough. It was. We left around 3, got there at 5:30. That's not too bad. It's just the traffic.
5:30? That's not bad at all.
That's not bad, no. We left around 2. Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes an hour just to get out of town.
You know, you're right. Actually, it wasn't too bad. The place is called U31, which is this cool little bar. And San Diego is just a cool scene. It's a cool scene, man. It's mellow. People are loving life. And there's a lot of local comics that were there, and there were some of us from L.A. And the local comedy scene is there's not a lot of people doing it, so you get a lot of stage time, these great shows. You get a real audience where people really want to come out and see comedy that they're not all trying to be actors or anything. So it's their real audiences, you know?
Right.
Like, it's not saturated with tons of, you know, people trying to do it.
Right.
So you get real people, which is great.
Yeah.
And the local comics are pretty amazing because they're just, like, they're not really going after it like people in L.A. There's not that sharky kind of, like...
Oh, really? So it's not that competitive, you think?
No.
Really?
No, not at all. I mean, there's some talent there, but they're not on a mission. They're just like, one dude, I met him last night. He's like, yeah, I'm a lawyer part-time and do this. I'm like, okay, rough life.
So you mean when you perform out here... You feel that competitiveness in the people?
Dude, absolutely. I mean, I'm really grateful. My talent is strong, and I feel like I have a gift, you know? I don't want to brag about myself. It's just something you have to see. You know what I mean? It just doesn't sound, like, true if I sit here and talk about it. It's not going to sound true. Yeah. So I won't go down that path. But I feel like I have strong talent. But with that said, there's the behind-the-scenes, like the camaraderie of the comedians and the different clubs and the different – everybody's in a different stage and they're walk, you know, with their career. And you know, I've never been that in the inside crowd of it, so I'm really not one of those super, super in the crowd. But I've really come to terms with myself as though I'm never going to be a comic. I'm never going to be a comedian's, like, the kind of comedian that other comedians go, oh, I want to be like her.
Yeah.
But they respect me, you know, they know I do great, but I'm happy.
Yeah.
So being happy and being a comedian is just not chic. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It, especially in L.A., it's better to get up there and be like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, it's better to be pissed off or angry, or I'm up there having a blast.
Yeah.
So last night.
So you got there at 5:30.
Got there at 5:30. Show didn't start till about 8.
But we, I see. Okay. So you
good.
Hung out?
Hung out. Tried to work on my set a bit. But so yeah, it was a really great great show. People, the audience was great. I'm going to plug the promoter, but I can't remember his card's in there somewhere. But the people that even put it on are just happy. Like everybody's like, we want to do this. We want to do this. And it's just so such a contrast between LA.
Yeah.
And had a great time on stage. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And it was predominantly a black crowd. And I just love that because yeah. they just love to laugh.
Yeah.
They're down. So I had music playing for a while and did a little floor show. Mm-hmm. Got up there and did a little dance.
So that you mean they have comedy clubs for black people? Or it was predominantly black?
It's predominantly black, and they okay. do have black comedy clubs.
Right.
Meaning like really? It's urban. Like it's more yeah. it's more urban artists, more of an urban audience, but it's not like only black people or only white people.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like that. Like the Comedy Union in L.A., it's predominantly black audience and black performers, but there's white audience and white performers that go.
Right.
There.
I mean, I'm sure they're not going to tell people don't come in.
Yeah, it's
but
like a segregated
at the same
thing.
Time, it is segregated.
Well, it's segregated in the sense of like, you know, I think it gets really muddy when you talk about, you know, different cultures different ethnicities have different cultures and
right.
different musical and different comedic palettes. And sometimes they cross over, sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. And it's not a black and white thing. It's more of a taste, I think, and a different background, a different culture and a different vibe, a different tempo, a different everything, you know?
Yeah. So, how did you do?
I freaking tow it up.
Really?
Tow it up.
You
yeah.
killed.
Yeah.
How
lit,
long did
lit
you,
it on
were you
fire.
Up there for?
You know, I was actually not up there very long. I only did 8 minutes, but it was a good, solid, fun 8 minutes.
Really?
Got the crowd going, yeah. You know, just reading energy and reading what... I'm not, like, the best at it or anything, but, you know, you can kind of read where people are and what they need, you know?
Yeah, by how much they laugh or don't.
Yeah, but you can tell, like, some people want, like, a romper room kind of thing. They want, like, a... And some people are a little bit more cerebral and dry humor and witty, you know. And this was more, I think, a very live. They wanted to dance. They wanted to have fun. So I went crazy.
Yeah.
And Byron Bowers was there. He was awesome.
Yeah.
He did the hosting and he did a lot. He did like 25 minutes to start off and he just hosted the whole thing the rest of the time and really got the crowd going as well. He ran the room and just had a really fabulous lineup. Like the comedians were really good.
Really? Mm-hmm. How many were there?
Was there like... Six of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had a really great time, though. Props to San Diego. I mean, they're just a great town, great comics, just great vibe.
Yeah.
It's just refreshing, I guess, what I'm saying. It's refreshing to, like, not have the industry element out there.
Right.
And you just go out there and you do it and you have a great time.
Yeah, it's a cool place, you know.
It's not nauseating.
It's sort of like a college town, you know, and people are laid back, like you said, and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's pretty cool. I love going to San Diego, you know.
Yeah.
It's really a cool place.
Well, it's funny living in LA. LA is a pressure cooker. It is intense all the time. I mean, maybe not so much the Valley, but even the Valley is intense.
Right.
But like Hollywood and West LA and everything, it's just, it's all over the place.
Right.
And anytime you leave and you go to like a place like San Diego, you're still, wow, this is really mellow. And I've heard people say it's just too mellow, which is funny because San Diego compared to like Texas is super fast.
Right.
Where I grew up, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so it's very interesting to... Anything outside of L.A. just feels like you're in a different world sometimes.
Yeah, it really does.
I'm sure it's like that for New York and other... definitely New York and like Tokyo or something.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
compare
L.A. to those places as far as population goes, but that intensity, because L.A. has its different intensity.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it is a pressure cooker. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people living here.
There's just there's an icky industry feeling. There's just this like everybody's trying to make it and everybody's just so desperate and everybody's trying to give you their business card and it's just, you know, and you go, you leave that and there's like,
yeah.
And then the vanity thing and looking a certain way. It's just, that part is really gross.
Yeah, but I feel you can live in L.A. without really being exposed to that kind of stuff. You know, it
depends
where
the Valley.
You choose to hang out.
You live in a 2-block radius, right? You live where you live right down the road. You come here.
Mm-hmm.
You're set, man.
Yeah.
Unless you travel out to go out and see the crazy people one night.
Well, I used to, and I hated that. I mean, it takes a long time to go from one side of the city to the other.
I know. It shouldn't because relatively it's all very close. Because when I first moved here, I was like, oh, I'll work in Beverly Hills and live in the Valley. That's no problem.
Right.
Because I didn't realize the traffic. Because literally, it's not that far. Without traffic, it should take you 15 minutes.
Exactly. Even less.
Even less, right?
Right. You just go over the canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boom, you're there.
Yeah.
Nope.
I know. You're right. I mean, but, you know, I mean, look, there's great things about L.A. I used to hate L.A., and then I learned to like it and embrace it. You know, there's a lot of great things about this
place.
You
know, I love living here.
And I've realized that not all people here are plastic and phony. And, you know, if you take your time, you find really quality people here.
Well, that's what I say. I think that there's a lot of everything. I think it's the crazy stuff that is the loudest.
Right.
It's what you see more, but it's not because there's more of it. It's just the more flamboyant.
Right.
Your everyday person that's just doing their thing and living life and, you know, interesting and having a great time. They're not going to be like, hey, look at me.
Yeah.
You have to find those people.
Yeah, that's true.
But I've met many amazing people living here.
Yeah?
So many people. When I first moved here with two other people, we didn't even know each other. We were looking for apartments. And we found this apartment in Sherman Oaks. And we're like, oh, this will work out great. And they were like, oh, okay, it's going to be $1,200. And we were like, okay, that's like, what, $400 a piece? Sure, we got it. We're good.
Right.
Well, they wanted the $1,200 plus another $1,200.
Really?
The deposit, and they wanted first month's rent.
Right.
And then I think they wanted another deposit. I can't remember. You know, that's how LA is. It's first and last month's rent plus a deposit. So it's thousands of dollars to move into a place. Right. And we thought we were just going to cut them a check each for $400.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hit me like.
And then you were.
Here I am, 20 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what? You mean not just $400? No, I needed to give them like a grand, and everybody needed to give them like a grand. Something like that. I looked. Yeah. And was, what? And it hit me like, oh, this is, what?
Really?
And we were like, oh my gosh, we're going to be homeless. We did not know what to do because we didn't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
But we were like, oh, we just moved out to a place that's going to take thousands of dollars per person to move into a place.
Yeah.
We should have thought this thing through.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of like requires preparation, you know,
when
you move to another city.
I think there's something beautiful about being naive, though, because it got me out here. And then I'm stressed. I'm just like, wow, I'm going to be home. I don't know. I'm not going to be homeless. I'm just going to believe that God's going to provide a place. But looking at my resources, this is just not looking good. Every place we went to, and the people that didn't let us obviously rent the apartment because we couldn't afford it, they brought us into their home and gave us like some things to drink and some food and sat down with us. And they were so encouraging and said, yeah, so many people move here all the time. They said, there's no shame in moving back. If you ever need to move back and come back and, you know, better prepared.
Right.
And they were so just cool.
Yeah.
And let us in their home.
Yeah.
And I remember just sitting there thinking, man, this is amazing. These people don't even know us. And they're just,
right.
But their heart went out to us because they know what it's like to put everything on the line and go after a dream and not know anything, because she was a set designer. He's like a DP on film.
Right.
And they both did the same thing at their own, you know,
right.
Their own walk, you know. So I just remember sitting there thinking, wow, there's just so many great people here. Flash forward a week later, we got a studio in Van Nuys. Mm-hmm. Three of us.
Yeah, really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And that was like $400 a piece.
Van Nuys, my God. That's a dive right there.
Man, I'm not feeling it.
No?
I lived across from a mental halfway house type thing.
Really?
Yeah. That's before. And you're 20 years old. You don't know anything. You're living across the street. People are drooling on the front lawn.
Yeah.
And people are yelling. And then
it's not a great area.
I lived off of Victory and Sepulveda, which friends of mine that were cops told me that was a real big prostitution area.
Yeah.
And then one night in my apartment building, a guy got jumped. So the police show up. And they're taking out this guy that's all bloody.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time that they're taking out this guy, the fire department rushes in because a lady caught her apartment on fire.
Really?
And two separate calls. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my gosh. Welcome to LA.
So that's where you started.
I started, 20 years old.
Wow.
Stars in my eyes. Working at Starbucks.
Yeah, there you go. You see, but you were willing to do what it takes, you know. And,
yeah, I mean it builds character. And when you get to those places where you don't want to go any step forward, but you have to.
Right.
And you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are character defining choices.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Plus, you know, I mean, I could never move to another place without researching the place, having been there a few times. You know, just kind of like, because it's. You know, there's just too much uncertainty. You know, I don't think I could live with that.
Well, I think on the same hand, I just believe in, you know, if you look at the Bible or even, you know, the Torah, and you look at Abraham and you look at God called Abraham out, and he called him out of his living quarters, his tent. And he said, come out here, Abraham. And he said, look at the stars. Can you number them? No. He got him to dream. He said, look at the stars. You can't even number them, can you? The sands on the beach, you can't number it. That's the amount of descendants you're going to have. And God was speaking clearly spiritually. But he called him out of his natural environment and then had him dream with him, which is beautiful. And then he said, now go. And Abraham didn't know he was going to go. He didn't know. He just knew he had to go.
Right.
And I think in that principle, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it's going to be worthwhile. And it's going to be the best life you're ever going to have.
Yeah. I don't know. I still think we need to do a little planning, you know.
Well,
to,
I mean, there's certain things, but when you're 20 years old.
Exactly. You
you're
know,
20 I mean, years old. I don't. Who's taking care of me at 20? Nobody's taking care of me at 20.
Yeah, plus you got here with $300, you said, right?
Yeah, but here I am today.
Yeah,
and
that's
guess
true.
What?
You
I've got
it.
A character because I came here without $300.
No,
because
that's true.
I
would
here,
never have done it.
My
know?
Point is that.
Maybe at 20 I would have.
20 years old. Yeah. You've got a dream. There's nothing in Texas holding me back.
Yeah, you don't care.
No. I mean, what am I going to do? There's nothing. And I moved out here, and it was hard. I cried so much. I was so alone. I was so afraid. And but there's so much that happened that was hard but good, and it makes you so strong. And
right. So are you happy you made that move?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I thank God that I didn't know what I was getting into, because I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have had the same skill set that I have now.
Yeah. It's interesting you chose L.A., though. You know, I mean, some people choose New York, and, you know, but you were after Hollywood. You
yeah,
to
film,
get to
television,
right.
Music.
Yeah.
It's pretty much all here.
Yeah.
I think that New York caters more to live theater and stuff.
Not necessarily. I mean,
there's film there,
there's
too.
There's a lot going on. Television, radio.
Yeah, but I think that, I mean, Hollywood's Hollywood, so.
Yeah.
It's where everything's pretty much cast.
Yeah.
And most, for the most part. Yeah, you're right. New York has it, too.
But. Yeah, New York has a lot going on there, you know.
But it's not the
fashion
same.
Fashion and
I mean, people that really are
and
serious about film and TV move to
right.
L.A. if they're starting their career.
Right.
Unless they're doing, like, soaps.
So that
or
means you're serious about movies. And
yeah.
You're gonna accept offers when they come for movies.
Yeah, I mean,
stuff.
I've really kind of changed my gear a bit, and I'm really working more on the comedy and the music and the live stuff and really building it from the ground up. Because I think as an artist out here, you can get caught up in the trying to work the business, which
right.
you need to know that it's a business, and you need to have some skills. But sometimes it just doesn't work for people because it's oversaturated, and you have to kind right. of develop your own voice and your own vision and build it, and they will come. And I really feel that, you know, every time I do a live show, I always get great responses, and people want me to do more stuff. And so it's
good.
Yeah.
That's good. You know?
So it's kind of like a slow burn for me. It's definitely, they say it takes 10 years to be an overnight success. So
10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've still got a long ways to go.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing well. What, didn't you go on a date last night?
No, I had a show last night.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did have the show.
I actually supposed to have a bunch of them lined up this week, and I'm all over
the place. Yeah, that's what
you
said. That's why I was thinking you had one last night.
I think I got one tonight.
Right. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I hope they're not listening.
Yeah.
You know what? It's whatever. I don't care. Yeah, it's at this point, I'm going out to meet people and have fun, and I just, it's not like I'm meeting the man.
Right. Well, you don't know that.
You're
you
right, know, you I might. Don't. And that's why you I'm might. Doing it. Yeah, I'm doing that. But I enjoy the process. And
right.
So we'll see. I think I got to figure out what is tonight. Who's tonight?
Yeah, who's tonight?
I know Thursday.
Let me look at my black
Friday.
Book and see.
Yeah, Saturday. Absolutely, yeah. Who is tonight? There's somebody tonight. Anyway.
I'm sure you'll figure it out.
I will figure it out.
I'm going to call you and and remind you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if not, I'm going to go to my running group.
A running group?
There's a running group.
Uh-huh.
Meets in Park La Brea area at the Grove.
Yeah.
The Nike store, 6:30.
I see. And you guys just run?
Just freaking run.
Yeah.
Run for the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-mile run, but it's a fast 3 miles. And
so that's around the Grove there, you said?
Yeah, it goes around the neighborhood around the Grove. But they meet at the Nike store at the Grove, 6:30 on Wednesdays.
Right.
And then there's one in Beverly Hills at 6:30, the Nike Town store.
Yeah.
And yeah, and
sounds really boring to me. But
oh,
if
man,
you like running,
fun.
I guess
it's all about making myself get there. Once I'm
right.
there, I'm happy. It's just putting the clothes on, getting my shoes, getting a car, going that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've never known you as like a lazy person. I mean, you're not a lazy person, but
well, I'm not.
Nevertheless, it is a hassle to get there.
No, it's just. When you have to wear 3 sports bras,
right.
and you have to find where all your 3 sports bras are,
mm-hmm.
and you got to find socks, and then you got to find the right outfit,
mm-hmm.
and then you got to put your shoes on, and then you know, it's a lot
so
to
that's
assemble.
That's a hassle.
It
okay.
is a hassle, and it's
right.
and exercise clothes for me are very uncomfortable, like the sports bras. They're uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I get headaches.
Yeah, I can imagine, huh?
I get headaches.
Really?
Yeah, like there's too much pressure. It's too tight.
Really?
Tight on my shoulders, everything. It's so uncomfortable.
Wow.
But I'm not going to get a black eye, and I'm not going to freaking have saggy breasts, so.
There you go. You can have someone running next to you and holding them up.
They won't be able to keep
while
up.
While you're running.
They won't be able to keep up.
Really?
No.
Well, try them. Maybe you will.
No.
Just have someone carry your boobs for you while you run.
You know, every time I run, I imagine that there's a remote control that I can go, cheep, and then it just freeze frames them a bit, and they don't jiggle or anything. They just stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. But, no, I might do that.
Yeah.
I might get my run on.
I guess running is probably not the best sport for having a...
No, I'm really not built to be... I mean, my body, my legs are and stuff, but I'm not really... I mean, boobs are not built.
Yeah, for running.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, that kind of sport's good to be little.
Yeah.
But it makes you little if you keep it up.
Yeah.
Kind of. It doesn't really do much for my top. It just kind of... My top just stays there.
Yeah.
My top just stays how it is. It just stays right there, right there. What's on the plan for you for the weekend? Anything fun?
The weekend?
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
I mean,
Tuesday.
It's only freaking Wednesday.
Or it's Wednesday.
Today.
Woo! Yeah.
I'm not even thinking of the weekend yet.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you already started thinking of the next weekend on Monday.
I know.
Yeah. What is it with you and weekends?
I mean, always.
You
feel...
just said you enjoy life every
I
day.
I do.
Right?
Today, I mean, yeah. I just, for me, every day is kind of, in its own way, a weekend. I mean, there's days where I'm like ragged and running around. It's not like it's a weekend, but, and there's days you're like really hustling, but. It just feels so sunny here. It's so pretty.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm always excited. Like Wednesday. Woo!
Yeah. Wednesday's exciting, I guess.
I got a job interview after this.
Didn't you go yesterday, too?
Yeah, that was a meet and greet today. It's the job interview.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
And what's this one for?
This one is for... Okay, how do I put this?
You always find the weirdest ones.
I know. I like to tell you. I like to amp it up so it's entertaining. But no, it's legit. It's a personal assistant position.
Personal assistant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's a kind of personal assistant where you sleep with a guy. No, I'm just playing. It's a joke.
Sounds good.
Anyway, just
I'm
assistant.
I'm sure that's the one you jump on.
No. Not. Please. I would never do that. No, it's kind of like somebody that is... you know, it's interesting. You're doing the you're booking the travel. You're doing computer work, things like that. But a lot of it involves kind of being the right hand to this person.
Right.
Making sure that when you're out, that you take a lot of notes because there's a language barrier.
Right.
And the guy speaks English, but there's still a little bit of barriers. So you got to make sure that you're not letting information fall through the cracks.
Right.
You know, I'm still kind of getting all the details on it. But it also, he wants like a pretty American girl to be his assistant.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Why not?
Because of an image thing.
No, he might as well have someone pretty to look at. I mean, if he had the
choice. Well, I think because this person goes with him to these business functions and things like that.
Right.
These meetings that he wants to be represented in, not just because she's attractive, but because it makes him look... I guess more Americanized or something. I don't know.
No, it makes him look like a pervert.
Does it?
Yeah. Is he an older guy?
He's older than me. Yeah.
Well, older than you, but you know.
He's in his 40s.
In his 40s.
Mhm.
Oh, really?
Mhm.
Wow. Well, I wish you all the luck in the world with that.
Hey,
job.
If it's not a fit, it's not a fit. I'm not going to do anything stupid, but.
Yeah.
It seems legit. I mean, LA.
It amazes me the things that people hire people for.
Well,
you know?
Personal assistant and then isn't weird. It's the attractive American part, but that's even kind of normal, I think, in LA, right? People, you know, having image attached to their job description.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not in that kind of work, but I mean, who knows? You know, I mean, he, you know,
well,
that's what he wants. That's what he should get. What the hell he's paying
if you
for
need
it.
A personal assistant that isn't going to be out at events and business meetings with you,
right.
If you don't need that and you need somebody that's behind the scenes,
right.
I don't think that matters.
Well,
but if you're looking for somebody that represents you.
Well, it depends on what you're looking at. You know, I mean, if you're looking at it from a legal point, I don't think you'd have a case here, you know. But
well, I mean, some stuff is image oriented. Like if you're in the entertainment industry,
right?
And you're
well, it's one thing, you know, if they're looking for you know, for an actor for a specific part and things like that, you know. But like for example, if they hire like flight attendants and they discriminated based on look, they'd have big trouble.
Okay, well, let me ask you that. I think we talked about this. Okay, so I'm actually with you. I think less of that is better, even though I'm going to this job interview. Hopefully, I'll let you guys know. but, you know, when you have a company that's trying to represent a certain image,
right,
and that's their brand,
right.
I mean, I've done a lot of promo work and promo modeling, and there's an expectation to appear a certain way, and not just, oh, you've got to be gorgeous. It's not like that. It's a certain well-kept look. It's a certain outfit. It's certain kind of makeup and hair, and it's the brand of what they're representing. And back in Houston, I did interview to be a flight attendant, and they had expectations of what, you know, the makeup should look like and the hair and all that stuff. So, because they wanted a certain appearance.
Yeah, well, that's understandable, you know.
So, but, I think like a company that has an image side to it, like you're branding them by being working for them, mm-hmm. or they're branding you or whatever.
Right.
That image has to translate.
Right.
So, is that bad?
No, I never said it was. There's nothing bad about it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're going to be paying someone, you should be able to get what you want. You know, and that's that. So, hey, I totally understand what he wants. But a personal assistant, that sounds pretty cool. I hope I have one day.
Yeah, you can use one.
Yeah.
You want to hire me?
No, I don't need a personal assistant.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't. I'm not busy. I don't do much, you know.
Okay. Well, I'm for
hire. Anyone to help me relax?
If you I'm good at that too. I'll help you out. Just let me know. You know.
Okay.
Run over with Dina. You guys get back to me. I'm down. Seriously. That'd be easy too. I already know you.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time, just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil. He knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain. So much love was there to gain. And they flew so high that they lifted up the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end, there's nobody to
trash rock. Let's get back. Let's get to Sam and Kara in the morning. Kara in the morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back.
Yeah, mute me
up. Did you hear that Bret Michaels is out of the hospital?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, he's pretty cool, huh?
He's, you know, not that he and I go way back and not that we chat a lot because we don't. But after, you know, Rock of Love wasn't a huge fan, and then, man, the Prentice brought him back.
Mm-hmm. It really did, huh?
He just has a lovable, lovable personality.
Oh, really?
He just is a team player that just, I mean, he really just wants to be in the group and be loved on.
Mm-hmm. What, do you watch that show?
I've watched a little bit of it, yeah.
Yeah, you watch a lot of TV, don't you?
Do I?
Well, you seem to know a lot about TV.
I don't know. I watch it, so maybe.
You know, you were talking about Christina Handler yesterday, or Chelsea Handler. Chelsea, that's what
I thought.
It's
late, late night.
Yeah, and then I looked her up and stuff, and apparently she has some video where she's having sex or something. You know, it was sort of like a
She's a sex tape.
Yeah.
I heard something about that. Did she really have a sex tape?
Yeah. It was sort of like she had an audition tape, and at the tail end of it, there was something where someone was banging her from behind, you know?
That's what
I heard. Well, I didn't see the video.
I think it's a joke, because this is kind of her thing. Is she spoofs and makes fun of the Hollywood thing.
Mm-hmm.
She makes fun of all the starlets and the L.A. culture.
Right.
And so I think it's probably her joke.
I don't think it's a joke, okay?
No, if you've been watching her.
But they're showing her, I guess, you know, I mean, this was like on Howard Stern, so I think they investigated this a little bit. And apparently she's just there having sex, you know?
No.
So we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens with that, you know?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Anyway.
So what? So she has like a late night show?
Yeah, she has a late night show every night, and it's called Nailing Hollywood Nightly.
Oh, really?
It's funny. There's a panel of comedians, and then she hosts it. I mean, I think she's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
She's not my favorite comic. I mean, there's a little bit of a mean streak she has.
Really?
Yeah.
She seemed pretty hot, though, right?
She's very pretty. She's got a little bit of that I'm a dude kind of girl thing going on,
mm-hmm.
but it works for her. I mean,
really?
I'm in no place to really criticize. I mean, she's doing her thing.
Yeah.
And she's successful at it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's
And she
good.
Had a great show. I went to go see her, I went to go see her, you know, her stand-up at the amphitheater, and she did a great job. It was fun. It was really fun.
Really?
Yeah. And well, she was. She looked great. She was very pretty.
Well,
very
that's
pretty.
Cool.
But yeah, you should, I don't think I watch a whole lot of TV. I just watch it.
Right.
From time to time. Like, I'll go a week and not watch TV.
Right.
Like,
so,
I haven't seen anything in
what
a week.
Are some of your favorite shows?
I'm not committed to anything. I think that I will admit I do like a little bit more of the trashier shows. Like, mm-hmm. Bravo is probably one of my favorite stations.
Oh, really?
Because they have the best reality TV.
Oh, I see.
They
that's
have
what
the,
you like.
The Real
like
Housewives.
TV.
The Real Housewives.
Right. Are those good?
Oh, my gosh. They are... It's like they're addictive.
Really?
Yeah, we're talking the real. They have the franchise goes to New York, Jersey, Atlanta, and then the OC. And I know that they're developing other shows too, but it's just these stories of these women with these radical amounts of money, or did have money,
mm-hmm.
and basically have nothing to do and their crazy lives. And
you but know, those are married women, right?
Some of them are single.
Really?
But it's kind of like women that are a little older and. The cougary age, some of them, and it's just comedy. I mean, when you look at people's lives that are so extreme and mm-hmm. it's not the normative
right.
of what you're used to seeing,
mm-hmm.
it's entertaining.
Yeah.
You're like, what? Really? What?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's not all true. I mean, I did a couple of reality things.
Yeah, they stage a lot of stuff there.
A lot of stuff is kind
you
of
know, and the way they edit
tied
it
together,
later.
And it's exactly the editing.
They're looking to put on story, you know?
Yeah, they have to create.
It's a TV show.
They're creating a storyline, so absolutely. But no, I really like the Bravo Housewives. Those are funny.
Really?
And
I'm gonna have to catch that.
I love Lost.
Yeah.
The TV show Lost
is good. Have you watched all the seasons?
Uh huh.
Really?
Yep.
Because I'm like stuck in season 4.
Oh, your way. You gotta catch up.
Yeah, I
know. You
gotta
catch up.
I know.
Because this is the last season.
Yeah, I know.
You should like put it in overdrive, catch up. You're gonna love it, and then get to the you know, so you can catch up and watch with the world.
I know. It's just that I never find time to watch TV. That's the whole thing, and I have no patience to sit there for an hour and watch.
It sounds
anything.
To me like you're more interested in doing. You're more interested in doing. You know, your little books.
Yeah.
Maybe you stop reading your dumb books with all your dumb
maybe
words.
Maybe I should stop with
I'm
it.
Just playing.
Huh? Yeah.
And watch some trashy TV. So, yeah, my roommates make fun of me because I like the Real Housewives franchise. But I don't. I mean, I'll literally go days and days and not watch TV.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. It's hard for me to even sit through a movie, you know?
Sometimes I'm just too busy.
I get too restless.
Like, yesterday I wasn't even home.
Yeah.
At all. I have a lot of days like that where I'm not even home. Mm-hmm. And then there's a day that you're home and you're doing something. You're like, hey, you know what would get good with this little computer?
Do you watch any soap operas?
Hell no.
No, huh?
Freaking,
you're not into that?
Freaking slit my wrist with a butter knife. Are you kidding me? Not ever going to happen.
No?
No. There's a tone to soap operas that is just, I don't know how to say it, boring. It is, I know that it's dramatic, but...
But it's addictive. I mean,
I don't know. But there's just something very white trash about it to me. The way I grew up and stuff, the soap operas. To me, it's saying I have nothing going on in my life. I have nothing. I have no ambition. I have no drive.
It's a TV show like any
other. You can say, well, Carrie, you watch The Real Housewives of blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know what? I don't have a good argument for that. But it's just the sitting on the couch, watching the soaps, and trying to live that badly through someone else's life. To me, I'm going...
I think you analyze it too much.
Let me tell you. I know where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I grew up and it wasn't cool. Okay? And I'm just telling you the tone... basically.
That's what it is for you.
It's just this, like, people don't have lives. Mm.
But why? What if you watch one show? I mean,
It's really not the person that's watched. Anybody that watches anything, you can use that argument.
Yeah, I mean, just like with Lost, you know, you get hooked on it. You watch every week, so here people watch.
I guess it's the daytime element to it.
Yeah.
Daytime TV depresses me. I mean, not that I've not watched TV in the daytime, but watching it during the day kind of to me seems loserish.
Yeah, because it's aimed at unemployed people. You know,
it just seems kind of loserish. And I've watched TV during the day. I mean, it's like I never have. But not frequently, and it just has this real, like, you know, life is going on around you and you're not engaged in it.
Right.
So I hope I didn't offend too many people, but it probably will. That's what happens when you have an
opinion.
Who
the hell would get offended by that?
I don't know. People that watch soaps, they're like, oh, bitch, I'm supporting your radio show. Now you gotta go off on me. And no, she's not. Doesn't have to be a black person. I just want to use that voice.
Yeah.
There you go. So it defeated two people.
Did Alex have fun yesterday?
He had a great time, man.
Yeah.
Was he cool?
Yeah, he's a pretty cool
guy. He's way cool. You know when you just meet cool people?
Uh-huh.
You're just like, you're cool. Come on the show.
Yeah.
You're cool. Come on the show.
Yeah, people that sort of flow, you know?
He's funny because people that don't buy into the crap, I like those people.
Mm-hmm.
People that are themselves, they see through it, and they're doing their thing. I like those people.
Don't buy into what crap?
Just the fake artificial business card.
Yeah, well, he hasn't been here long enough to...
That's true, but I'm hoping I got to him soon enough.
This town changes you.
It does. Oh, my gosh. I've had roommates. I had this one roommate, and she's the sweetest, best-hearted girl. So, and she still is. She's a great girl.
Mm-hmm.
But she came here, and it was just like, well... You know, I got to get my fake tan this week and I got to find the right color blonde. And she would go through magazines all the time looking for the color blonde she's going to get. It became this obsessive thing. It was actually quite entertaining to watch. And, I love her. She's not a bad person. But it's this, well, I got to do this because this does this. And you got to take care of your body because of this. And your body is your product if you're in entertainment. And you get, and I'm like, okay. It's not that what you're saying doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an OCD part of this that's coming into play. But it happens
to people.
Where do
you see the OCD there?
Well, because it's this constant self-focus.
Mm-hmm.
It's narcissism. People justify anything attaching the word business to it.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a hooker. You can be a drug lord. You can be you can sell weapons to, you know, countries that want to start wars with people for no reason. You can do anything and make a profit off of it and be business savvy. And somehow people in the world and the field, whatever, people justify it as though, oh, that's good because it's a good business. It's business. Business, business, business.
Yeah, but I mean, you're comparing that to bomb makers? I mean, what the
hell? No, I'm comparing it to all different kinds of... I'm just saying how far that stretches. I mean, people will do a lot of things and they can be profitable off of it, but it doesn't mean what they're doing is right.
Right.
And I mean, I'm using that analogy to...
But right by whom? That's a judgment, you know?
It is a judgment.
I mean, yeah.
We make judgments every day. It's different than being judgmental.
Yeah, but...
But there's people that come here and they turn into monsters, Sam, mm-hmm. in the name of the quote-unquote business. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to look a certain way. I have to, when I'm outside, I have to be in this, I have to be seen, and my photos need to be here, and I have to be with only these kind of people, and I have to look like this. I, that's not a person you want to be around.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. That's you.
No, it's called people don't want to be around narcissistic assholes.
Yeah,
that's
but it's
truth.
Not about narcissism. I mean, it's about people coming here to make their dreams come true.
No, but the problem is, Sam, and I'm telling you, this is a fact, mm-hmm. okay? This is a fact. Mm-hmm. People don't want to be around people genuinely. Mm-hmm. Like when you're looking to just hang out with people, meet people. People do not want to be around people that are self-loving, self-involved, and they never pour into the other person. People, do you want to be around that?
I wouldn't mind.
Yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
No, don't be. Don't lie.
I don't analyze things way too much, you know?
Do you see yourself going to dinner with a guy named Fred that all he does is talk about his stock portfolio and everything, and he never asks you
one... If I had something in common with him, I would.
If he never asks you one question.
Mm-hmm.
If he never even engages you.
People do that all the time.
It's stupid.
People do that all the time.
They do, and that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's dumb, and it's wrong.
Some people, they never ask me what's going on with me, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I'm not great friends with him, but I, you
there
know.
There you go.
What do you mean, there you go?
There you go. You don't have a good friendship.
Yeah, well, I'm really picky with friends, though, you know. So
because you require them to have a pulse and ask you a question, right?
No, not that. I mean, I have high standards, you know, towards
friendship.
Well, no,
friendship, my point is.
Because when I grew up, friendship was an unbreakable thing, you know. It was something that was really important, as it is for most young people, you know. I mean, friendships are very important because it helps you also form your life later on.
It's so true.
You know, so
how many close friends do you say that you have?
Right now?
Uh-huh.
Not a lot. Not any, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got some friends, but nothing that I would, you know, I mean, I've got my brother, I've got my wife. These are my best friends, you know. So... You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, there are a lot of people that I like, that I would like to see more of, but it just doesn't work out that way sometimes, you know? So what are you going to do? But listen, I hear what you're saying. It's just that you have to keep it in perspective and realize that many people do come here for the business, for their career, and nothing else matters, you know? I mean, you're career-oriented right now. You're not ready for
kids. But I'm not going to stomp on anybody to get there.
No, I didn't say you would, but you're...
I'm not going to ignore somebody.
You're focused on something, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is I value people.
Right.
Anything that's...
But that's you, you know?
I understand that. I don't live in, like, a freaking Mother Hubbard box. I get it, you know? I totally get it. I'm just saying, it's not about me. This is just about the golden rule. This is basic This is basic be nice to people stuff. This is basic, hey, how to win friends and influence people.
Right.
Basic stuff.
Yeah.
Ask questions. Listen.
But
give
I don't
a
think
damn.
It's mutually exclusive. I think people can be into business and still be nice
That's
people.
That's not what I'm saying. You're absolutely right. But I'm saying people will take the word business so far mm-hmm. to places to justify what they're doing.
Okay, so
That's
these
what
are
I'm talking about.
Yeah, these are unusual people.
No,
that
they're like everyday
nobody,
people.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying, you know.
Freaking roommates I've had.
But I don't think in order to be involved with your career or business that you're necessarily narcissistic.
No, you're right, and I'm not saying that. I mean, there's times and there's seasons where you have to really hunker down and you have to kind of isolate a bit to get some things worked out. And there's times when you can't be as social, and there's times when you have to really hustle. But when people, because I believe in this world we're all worshiping something, and I use the word worship, but what that means is it's what really takes up the most space in your heart
mm-hmm.
and in your head, what you really give the most attention. And we're all consciously or subconsciously worshiping something is what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, including myself, everybody, this is just our nature, we will zero in on something sometimes and kind of elevate it to a place it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And we give our whole being to it. And we miss some of the best things in the process. And I think that is just the simple things in life.
Right.
And of course, there's a balance where you do need to get business done and you have to take care of, like, you know, you're running this station.
Mm-hmm.
But there's times when you have to, like, invest in people and you have to just sit down, turn the phone off, and actually engage with the person and go, you know what, right now I'm in this moment. This moment's the only thing that matters because it's a person. It's a real-life human.
Right.
And I just think that exchange is trampled on. It's usury.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of people doing that just to get somewhere, and they're not even fully engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it every day. It's not just Los Angeles, but There's a high concentration of it. And like Sarah and I, we meet some really great friends. We meet a lot of great people that are awesome. It's not a judgment on their heart, but you can see they're in that trap. Mm-hmm. Even when you go, hey, let's go grab a coffee or we're going to meet up, they can't even sit there and just engage because it has to be all about the entertainment business every 2 seconds because mm-hmm. they're afraid I'm going to miss out. Yeah. I need to make sure that I'm always spinning my own hype.
Right.
It's like, relax. Have a little faith. Mm-hmm. Have a little bit.
Yeah.
And just enjoy those sweet potato fries. A Cuenca Cafe. Amazing.
Yeah.
Have you had the sweet potato fries?
You analyze things too much.
No, I care is what it is.
Yeah, you care, but
and
you analyze things too much, and you're very opinionated.
I'm an observer.
And you expect the world to be the way you want it to be.
I don't expect anything, but I expect it. I'm going to get my piece in.
Not that there's anything wrong with
that. Listen, I'm an observer. I'm engaging in life. I'm not just it's not just washing over me. I see what happens.
Uh-huh.
I care about people.
Right.
And
but you're judgmental of a lot of people.
I'm not judgmental.
Yes, you are.
No, it's because I have an opinion on something, and you make a judgment. We make judgments all day.
Right.
Judgmental is really, I think, a condemning viewpoint when you're basically criticizing someone's heart, and you're really marginalizing them and putting them in a right or wrong category. And that's not what I'm doing.
You were talking about being right. It's not right. It's not right. It's wrong. It's wrong. How can you say
that's
that?
A judgment. It's like, is it right for your kid to smack another kid sometimes? No.
Okay, so that's a judgment, but that's
it's
your
a judgment.
Opinion. That's
absolutely.
What I'm saying,
do you know? Think being so self-involved and being so narcissistic where you have no friendships, do you think that that's healthy and right?
No, I don't.
There you go.
I don't.
So
but
you're
I
judgmental?
Don't think, no.
There you go. We're not judgmental. We're just saying, hey, guess what? The shirt I'm wearing is black. It's black, right?
No. You go back to the tape and you hear what you said.
Oh, I will. Okay. And then I'm going to send you a clip of it.
Yeah, there you go.
With a follow-up.
You listen to what you say.
I'm going to send you a clip.
It's not right. It's you know.
Just because I use right and wrong, don't be afraid of those words because they exist. You know?
They do exist. But it's judgment. You're judging how other people
are
living.
No, what you're trying to do is do a PC thing on me. You're trying
me?
To, yeah.
You're I don't give a shit about PC.
It's what you say in one breath, but in the other breath, you're trying to criticize me because I'm identifying things that are right.
I'm just
wrong.
Telling you that you're given certain opinions
addressing
about certain things, and you're trying to present them as facts.
Listen, addressing certain things as right and wrong does not make you necessarily judgmental.
Okay.
And I think we both agree in some ways, but I think you're turned off
you
by the language.
You don't think right and wrong is a relative term?
They can be relative.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I think that sometimes you're right. It's very subjective and relative, mm-hmm. but there are some universal truths, mm-hmm. like do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Mm-hmm. That's a basic truth that people believe. Not everybody lives
it. It's not a truth. It's a suggestion.
It's a principle. It's a principle. Do unto others.
Okay.
You do for,
right,
do
but
unto
it's
them.
Not a fact or anything. I mean, it's just like... They say, yeah, if you do something for other people, then you'll get the same back. And,
no, there is psychological proof about how when you engage with people and you ask them questions about them, how when they start to feel safe and they open up, they actually value you more.
Mm-hmm.
There's psychological proof. I mean, they've done studies that show, you know, basically how to communicate, how to have relationships that are mutually beneficial, not just one-sided. So if you look at people, you live in a culture that's all me. And you look at that and you go, you know what? That's not right.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make me judgmental. It's just saying a fact. It's not.
It's not a fact. To say it's not right is not a fact.
I'm sorry. I totally disagree
with you. It's an opinion. Okay. Right and wrong are judgments.
They are judgments, but it's different than being judgmental.
Facts.
It's different than being judgmental.
Why? What's the
judgmental
difference?
Is a condition of the heart. It's not saying, hey, this is right, this is wrong. Judgmental is a point of view that you are superior to other people, that you are like taking a position as a being above somebody, and you're condemning people. And that's not what I'm doing. I'm living in a...
Yeah, well, your definition is different from other people's definitions, I think.
Well...
You know? But... But yeah, I mean, look, nobody argues that it's a good thing to have friends and be connected with people and so forth.
Apparently,
you know?
You are.
But
I love you, Sam.
Yeah. No, but you know, I mean, I love communicating with people. But
I know
all
you
I'm
do.
Saying is, there's nothing wrong with people. You know, I just don't think that judgments are facts, and that's what I'm having a problem with. Not with your opinion. Okay, but to say you're not judgmental. Judgmental is someone who makes judgments.
I don't believe so, no.
No?
I think judgmental, I think it's different to say, you know, even if it, let's go with you with what you're saying, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that right and wrong is relative. And actually, I do agree with you in certain areas. I do think there's those gray areas of life that, you know, it's not up to other people to really govern, and it is questionable. There's certain relative areas. Right. But there are certain things that are universal.
Right.
And there's principles, I think, that are universal, whether or not people choose to live by them or not is their choice. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, having said that, like, the judgment is, to me, you're making a call on whether or not this is right or wrong according to what you think, right? Because mm-hmm. it's the best that any of us can do, right? We all have different backgrounds. We all have different beliefs. But you think, okay, this is right and wrong. But that doesn't mean that, let's say I meet somebody, okay, and they are so – I have friends like this, so hear me out. Hear my heart.
Okay. I'm hearing your heart.
Look past the language I'm using that's turning you off and hear my heart. I have good friends that I've been friends with a long time, and I've seen them go down these paths. I've been down these paths where you get so caught up in your tunnel vision of quote-unquote business, which was entertainment, and they've changed and turned into people that you don't even realize who they are anymore. They don't even recognize themselves, and they're not fun to be around because there's no room for anybody but them.
Right.
And I still love them. Like, I don't hate them, and I don't feel as though I'm better than them, which would make me judgmental if I thought I was better than them, because I'm not. I'm just as capable of going down that path, and I have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But it still doesn't take away the fact that I still believe that is wrong, that is not the right way.
Mm-hmm.
When you are living for yourself and only yourself, I don't think that's good. Okay?
Yeah, well, it's probably going to come back to bite you in the ass.
Yeah, but I'm just illustrating. I don't think it's judgmental, though, because right. I don't think it's right. Being judgmental would be like, ew, I'm so better than that. I can't be around you. I'm, you know, whatever. You know, get your shit together and da-da-da-da. Like, to me, that is judgmental, like the attitude, the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of friends, because I can't be judgmental, man.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Because yeah. even if I slip into it, I have to get out of it, because I've lived so many different lives here.
Mm-hmm.
Even in my short time here in L.A., I've fallen into so many different
right,
traps.
Right, some of them are contradictory, you know.
So, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I own it, though. I mean, I'm really mm-hmm. upfront about it. I'm really
right.
honest about it, because, but having been through that, I can recognize it mm-hmm. and I can understand that place
right.
and I can see how it's destructive
right.
and go, you know what, that's not right. It's not good. It's not good for you. It's not good for anybody.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make me judgmental. It just makes me able to recognize it and understand it.
Okay. Well, point taken.
Love you, Sam.
Okay. We're going to take a break. I think our guest is here, and we'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real time station. Your free 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
We'll be right back. only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
Okay, and we have our guest in the studio. Woo! We have Laura Nickerson.
Hello.
Good morning to you.
Laura Nickerson.
Isn't that a great name?
It makes me think of Nickers.
It is awesome.
You know what? I had a child, and my friends voted that I should name him Dick Nickerson.
Really?
Dick Nickerson. Private eye. I didn't name him that. I just want you to know.
Dick. I mean, Dick, nobody, come on. Nowadays, do people still name their kids Dick? Because that is just mean.
That is a little
that
mean.
That is a judgment I'm making, Sam, but it's mean.
They name them all sorts of crazy things
they
now.
They really do, huh?
Now do. Now paper like, and fruit.
It's like Earth, Wind, and Fire names, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, and they don't
flame.
Think about the kid growing up with having to deal with that name, you know?
No, they
and
don't.
And being made fun of at school. And
I feel like they're always wanting a chic name, like a cool... Like, kids need, like, a happy little puppy name, but they're giving them names like... You know, Winchester.
You know,
Winchester. Winchester! Hot dogs are ready. Winchester. Because they're breeding them to be rich already. They're like,
totally. It's
Winchester.
All rich names.
Mason.
Mason Dixon. Get
Mason.
Over here.
Yeah, you know, just like...
Fix mommy a mojito,
these, like,
would you?
I love a mojito. Oh.
You know what the problem with mojitos is? You go to most places and they don't have it. Did you notice that?
Really?
Yeah, they don't have the mint leaves and stuff, so they don't make it. It seems like... And it is a popular drink now.
Well, I'm more having an issue with picturing you, Sam.
Yeah.
Ordering a mojito often enough to notice when they're not there.
Well,
actually,
no, but my
point.
Wife does, though.
Oh, she does. Way to go,
so
Dina.
I know.
Way to go, Dina.
He's like, hi, I'm so Sam. I'd like a mojito, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I don't see Sam throwing back a bunch of mojitos. What is it? Patron? You get your Patron on?
No, I actually like mojitos, but I'm not a drinker, you know, so I'll have one occasionally.
What about your birthday? Are you going to get a throwdown on your birthday?
Yeah.
We're
going to
let you liquored up.
Yeah, but I never really like getting drunk or anything.
No.
You know, I'll have a couple drinks or something. You know,
yeah, no, but, getting to the drunk place sucks. The ride there is fun, though.
Yeah.
I've taken that ride several
times.
You just wish you should have stopped.
You know, I don't like the drunk feeling at all. And you always have that talk with God or whoever or whatever. You're like, look, I'm really sorry. I'm just an awful human. I won't do it again. And then...
Yeah, my problem is that I come from an Irish Catholic background, so we know how to drink, but what we also know how to do is talk.
I see.
So the more I drink, the more I talk, until it ends up I've dominated for 2 hours. I've talked about nothing.
Have you had people afterwards tell you, like...
Shame.
Oh, they have? Have they given you like...
They give me the look. They give me the look like, oh, yeah, no, we heard that last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I
really?
Mean? When I say, oh, well, what about... Did you hear about this? Yeah, you talked about that last night. Eye roll.
Oh, well, you know what?
Well, that's why you're on the radio. It gives you 2 hours to say anything you want.
Yeah, I force people to listen to me now.
Yeah.
You got your mojito, you got your radio station. That's a good combo.
Yeah. So Laura has her own show, right, with three other ladies called Broad Topics. And you guys have been with us from the beginning.
Yeah.
So we're talking 2.5 years.
So cool.
And she's still talking. Let me tell you, she's still talking.
It's the Irish Catholic. I can't help myself.
It's called Broad Topics?
Broad Topics.
I love that.
Four diverse women, and we have one big topic every episode.
Love it.
So we've just changed over. We have a couple of new hosts that just came in. We are joined by Megan Sewell and Stacey Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so it's like the new era, the new regime, they call it, which I love. They're smart and beautiful and wonderful, and we've had all these great guest hosts. So I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of the show.
Wonderful, wonderful. And that show takes place Tuesdays at 7 p.m.
Tuesdays from 7 to 9.
7 to 9.
Yep, you can always download
it. So what did you guys like to talk about last night, for example?
Okay, last night was a great show because what we did is we spent the week ambushing Facebook.
Okay.
We were watching our posts and pulling topics off of what people talked about on their news feed on Facebook.
I bet that was hysterical.
It was pretty fun. It was pretty fun. And it was a lot of stuff, current events. And then there was also, you know, what's his name? You know, Luther Vandross.
Uh-huh.
Somebody's had like this huge post on Luther Vandross.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So we talked about that. We talked about posts that people hate because I posted on my post. I'm using the word post a lot here, but I said, what do you really hate when people put up on Facebook?
Uh-huh.
And so I talked about all the responses that I got to that. And so we kind of did a little undercover Facebook show. It was really fun.
I love it. I want to go back and listen to it. I have, what are some of the things you hate the most? Because I'm sure we all have.
Well, I talked about it last night, but I was joking about this with some friends of mine because we're in LA and all our friends are actors and we all come from acting backgrounds and such. So nothing I hate more in this town than actors, just general rule.
Which is pretty normal.
Yeah, I hate myself and that's what makes me an actor and we go on from there. But So when I said I hated it, I actually blocked somebody because it was like I was home with my two kids and I hadn't showered and my hair looked bad. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, just get off the Fox lot. They so loved me. Oh, the producers are so going to call me in again. Uh-huh. And on and on and on. I'm so great. Like, how do I ever get through the day without being so fantastic?
See, I want to share. I'm going to piss a lot of people off if I start going down this path. So I'm going to let you do it for me.
Thank you. Throw me under the bus.
No, but I just, there's too many people that if I'm listening will get pissed. But there's definitely some people that pop up in my feed.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about how fabulous they are. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're not accessible. I know you're full of shit.
Right.
And you just, it's not cute.
No.
Like, and I, friends of mine will be like, yeah, I can't stand that person's da-da-da, and we all talk about it.
Yeah. Well, most postings on there are just plain boring, you know? And, mm-hmm. and you know.
Boring, or they're over the top, like, you're so amazing. You know, I don't need to hear, you know. I can't go too into it. You know what I'm trying to say without saying it right now?
But, you know, I mean, some people are very self-involved. You know, I mean, I know like a couple of women that all they do is post different pictures of them and new pictures. And they're just like in love with themselves.
I'm
you
in
can
the
tell,
room,
you know?
Sam.
Yeah, well, no, you're not room. You're not one of them.
Okay, because I do put up crazy pictures.
I wasn't
pictures.
Thinking of you. But,
perfect.
Yeah.
I got to check out your feed, lady.
Yeah. Just, I've stopped posting that much. I'm not an over-poster.
Yeah, you don't post a lot, huh?
No, I want it to be funny because when I, or a good one, like I've had some that are really funny and it gets people going and then mm-hmm. it creates a fun buzz. But it, you know, if it's not, if I don't have something good to offer, it's like there's this one chick that we're, I could talk about her because we're not that close, but
because I hate that bitch.
No, she's actually really cool, but you know, just face whatever. My point is, and it's not just her. There's a lot of people, like people from back home. There's people here that this one girl lives here, but it's always like. Just went to Trader Joe's and bought some Greek non-fat yogurt, put some blueberries in it, and slipped on my tennies, going to go for a run, and just, you know, drink some Mai Tai soup or whatever. Going to hit the hay with a nice book. I heart life.
I heart life. I wax my eyebrows.
I mean, it's like all of her tasks, and it's done with this, like, I'm so in control and yet mellow at the same time, and I live a perfect life that's equally balanced. And,
I hate those people.
I'm like, you're boring. You're annoying. I don't want to know about you.
Too perfect. Huh?
Yeah, like, I'm going to sipping on my ginger organic liver detoxifying tea and cuddling here with my pillow.
Now, I do have to say that I've done a lot of – I know, Sam, you and I, and we all know – the internet media world pretty well, and there is something to be said for an art form that is Facebook and Twitter and all of these things, because you have to sort of, you want to promote things that you want to promote, like the radio station or the shows or whatever, but if you just do that, then people block you.
Right.
So what you have to do is sort of become this presence on these sites. And so like Twitter, for example, I hate Twitter. Uh-huh. I love you, Twitter, but I hate you because I'd rather do Facebook. But anyway, but I have to kind of go on there and say things besides just listen to my show.
Right.
People will stop following me.
Exactly.
So I
have
to kind of say,
you
have
to have some interesting content, and that's what it's about, you know?
I know, it's hard.
So you're right.
You got to be still a personality and not just like...
Yeah, if you try to promote and plug all the time, you know, people are going to lose you.
It's not my. I've tried doing that, and it just feels icky. It's not my style anyway. I'm like, yeah, well, you know what? People find it, figure it out.
Yeah.
Hopefully. You know, and kind of a balance of having a little bit of faith with it, but then also putting it out there and not bombarding people. And,
right.
Because it's just like when I tried to sell Arbon. Or Avon, you know, or Mary Kay, whatever. My point is you're like, hey, Julie, how you doing? Great. Oh, good, good. Listen, I have a great business opportunity that I think would be great for you. I just want to share with you my great business opportunities and my plan for success. And I think it would be a good plan for success for you and your family. Just call me back when you get a chance. And then you keep, you know, every time you guys talk, you're that girl
that
wants to get her, you know, to host a party.
Oh, I just got invited to a party. I'm going to take entire conversation to a totally different place.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Yes, I'm down.
I got invited to a sex toy party.
Okay, are you going?
Really?
Yes.
Okay, yes,
when
is
it?
I don't remember. I have to go look.
I want to know about this.
Do you want to come to the party?
Probably not. I probably don't want to come because I have a different place. I'm trying to not do sex. It's a whole long story. Let's not get Sam going on it.
Yeah.
Oh. I know. Your face just dropped.
The last thing she needs is sex toys.
No, I'm trying to do the celibate thing right now.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. I've done it for 5 years before, so.
You know what you should do?
Huh?
Get married and have kids.
Yeah.
Well, I'm waiting. Is that celibate?
That'll work for you.
She just solves your problem, you see.
Yeah, you get there by being slutty, and then you do it in reverse.
Oh, my gosh. This is so funny, though. Is it? Are you loving it or no?
What, being married and having kids?
Yeah.
Oh, I love being married and having kids.
Are you just not getting it a lot or no?
Well, you know, I get it. I get it.
It's just not the same time.
Well, it's just that I'm tired all the time.
Yeah.
I have so much. I have to schedule it in because it's like I sleep.
Really do.
Sex,
you get caught
sex.
Up with my life. How many? You have two kids now?
I have two kids.
Two kids, mm-hmm. huh? And one is pretty young, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, almost one and a half and 3 and a half.
It's been a year and a half already since
yes,
you had
I started
kids?
The show on LA Talk Radio, Broad Topics, and then I got pregnant within 2 weeks of that.
Right.
Must have been the station. Stick around, Kara.
No. Well, my
and then, I was barfing all the way through my first 9 months on this show. It was fantastic.
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the second one you had a year and a half ago.
It that was
like
that one.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's it. Yeah.
We've only been on
year
the
and
air
and a half.
Years.
Yeah. What am I thinking? Yeah.
Math, not your strong point.
No, me neither. That's so cool, though. Congratulations on being a mom. No, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's really awesome. But the sex thing, though, you're just like when you're stretching so many different directions. You're mm-hmm. not as it's not like when you're young and like a rabbity kind of thing.
No, and that's okay because that was a part of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it got us
the
to where we are now.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, it takes
just
different priorities.
Get married, you'll be celibate. How about that for you? Yeah, no, so it's my thing, and it's a long conversation. And Sam and I, if I start on this conversation, it'll dominate, and he and I won't stop. He'll be like, yeah, you're in the prime of your life. Go freak a tree. Like, just don't, you know. So it's clashing views. So back to you is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
No, back to you.
No, you're I want to hear about sex toy stuff. So tell me
okay.
what's going on.
Well, this is, I've gone to one of these before mm-hmm. where they have, it's, you know, your girlfriends get together. It's like a Narbonne kind
yeah,
of a
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
You know, the
right.
sex toy people say, let's throw a sex toy party
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
and you invite all your girlfriends and it's all very, you know, white collar and everybody's very like giggly about it, you know.
It's cute.
And you know what? You go in there and you're like, how have I survived not having these products?
Really?
It makes you think that like you need them now, like to get.
You have to get them now in order to have sex at all.
Okay, what do you can you get, can you name some of the things that you've seen that are like wow that's a really not some of the crazy shit that you're like oh that's just like a funny contraption, but what are some things that you're like wow
gotta mm-hmm. have it?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure like vibrators and stuff, right?
Yeah,
I mean women
mostly
like those.
Vibrators and
yeah,
you know gels and creams and things.
Yeah.
I think it's more they had like a remote control vibrator that you can give to your partner. And I was like, and you can wear it like at a party.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting turned on thinking about this. I can't think about that. So
see?
Let me,
and go like,
that's
I have
what they
have
had
that.
In
yeah.
this movie we saw the
yeah,
other day, the
yeah.
Ugly Truth or something. Or
yeah, the vibe.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah they had that. Yeah, this was a funny scene over there.
Yeah, Sam loved
yeah, with,
it. Oh,
so Catherine
such
Hagel.
A great acting scene. Such great acting chops that it took for her. Which
yeah,
is,
but she was in a restaurant. She was wearing something like this. And then she lost the remote control and a kid picked it up. So he starts playing with it. And she's on the other side of the restaurant having orgasms. So it was quite a scene. Yeah.
Wow. So it seems like when you see these commercials, was it the KY or something? And they're like, mine is this way. And he's like, mine makes mine like this. And together it's like, and then it just shows him laying there. It looks like people are so lazy to put a little back into it and get turned on. They're like, can you just give me a gel that'll just have sex for me? Can you just give me a gel that'll just show up and I can finish my emails and then have the orgasm I'm doing? You know what I mean? It's almost like we're like people don't want to really connect and be intimate. They're too overextended. They're too stretched. I just think it's interesting. It's funny. Like, does that make sense to you guys? Like kind of this, like, and mine is like this and his is like that. And they look like boring people. Even in the thing,
you're just trying to be celibate at this point.
Girl, yeah. I have to keep the hype going. Gotta
you're like,
keep it.
Yeah.
You're
she's
like,
trying
no.
really hard.
But I think it's funny.
Horrible,
I really do.
Lazy.
No, no. But seriously, come on. It's like you know they don't have to do anything. Like, can you just give me a cream that'll buy me dinner and just make this work?
Yeah.
You know? No.
It's funny how you make generalizations. I mean, you thrive on that.
I'm an entertainer.
Yes. So
we gotta come up with something.
You gotta make generalizations.
If you're gonna get, don't get too stressed out, Sam. Don't get too stressed out.
I'm not. But she's gotta, yeah, she's gotta justify the celibacy.
Look, I'm keeping it. I'm keeping it real. But I do believe that though.
Yeah.
That KY is for lazy people.
No, I don't think KY is for lazy people. But I think the way they're marketing it is funny. Like they're sitting there, like, they're not even looking at each other. They're looking at the TV. They're like, yeah, blah blah blah, and the guy's not even looking at her.
You know what? You know who they're marketing to?
Who?
Me. People like me.
But like, you look on. Like you look like you're an alive person though.
Huh? Yes, I am.
You look
I
look
like I try.
You look like you're operating on all cylinders.
that's all an illusion, yes. But no, but I mean, you know, they're sitting there basically saying, okay, you're tired, you know, you've got 5 minutes to watch TV before you go to bed. But if you put these individual products on, they might motivate you to have sex, which is a good thing.
That's
yeah.
true.
And then you can be in bed again in 10 minutes, which is also a good thing.
Right, right.
And get those 7 hours you've been dreaming of.
You're funny. No, but you just don't seem like a dull person. These people seem dull.
What's these people? Who are these people?
They're actors. They're the actors. She said it. She goes, they're marketing to her. Well, maybe they are, but she doesn't look like the people in there. They look dull. I dressed up for you. You look good, girl.
The people in there, where? The parties?
No. I'm talking about the specific commercial.
Uh-huh.
The commercial.
Forget about the commercial. Well, We've never seen it.
Well, that's what we're talking about. She knows what we're talking about. Keep up, Sam. Watch some TV. Shit.
He's the one out there having all the sex. He doesn't need it.
Anyway.
Not with the toys, but
so speaking of vibrators, though, I was at a friend's house the other day. I was at a friend's house the other day. We had like a little dinner, and I went to her bathroom to go to the bathroom. And anyway, I was looking for like extra toilet paper or something like that, just you know, out of toilet paper. Opened up the thing, and just it wasn't even like hidden. It was like big pig dildo.
Medicine cabinet?
No, underneath her sink.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's get that straight though. The moment happens, you're into it. You stop. You go into your bathroom and get it out of the medicine cabinet. Doesn't that seem like it's not good placement?
I mean, I would think you'd know people are over at your house, and it was like you, here's your sink. It's under just those basic drawers underneath your sink.
Yeah,
right.
Where the pipes are, and you got like soap and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
You don't want to mess that up with the drain, though, and all sorts of things could be under there.
But
spilling.
I literally, this is what happened. Where's the toilet paper? I'm like, boom! My hand flings. I slap this rubbery jelly pink dildo. It's flapping around everywhere. It's making noise. I'm like, oh shit! She's gonna know I saw her dildo. And she's like, she's gonna know I saw her dildo. And I was like, oh, I touched her dildo. Ooh, dildo juice. Like I'm just feeling kind of nasty. So I'm trying to like arrange the hot pink dildo back where it was and it had like it had the normal part, you know, like the penis part, but then it had like another thing coming out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What is it called? Is there a name for it or anything?
Another side that comes in?
It was like, it wasn't the way
like
guys built.
Like a double one?
They have like, it's like the rabbit thing or something, right?
Is it? It's like the one that goes inside and then there's like a handle that comes out.
Yeah, like the rabbit or something.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's for clitoral stimulation.
Okay,
stuff,
well, work it out. Work it out. Get it on. But she, I hit it. I slapped it. Fell over. Toilet paper fell over. I'm like, oh gosh. And I'm putting it back. And I had to like arrange it the right structure so she knows I didn't touch it. And I was like washing my hands.
Oh, the fingerprints and the juice, you know.
Yeah, I'm where like, is this
wash. And she's a sweet girl, clean house, really cute. Just so cute. And then this dildo, you know, and it just was the funniest moment because you don't want to see somebody else's dildo.
Well, here's the difference between you and me, Kara.
Tell me.
That you're worried so much about the actual dildo being in the house and the discovery. Uh-huh. I'm much more concerned with the placement.
I love that. You're like, come on, she would have came out of there going, hey, look, listen,
girl.
If you're going to have it, you know, like, let's be a little bit more, you know,
put
strategic.
It by your bed.
Put it by your bed.
I mean, really, what is it? Something you do before you shower?
Maybe.
What happens?
I didn't have a sit down.
Well, maybe she just goes, gets it, and then gets into bed, you know?
Maybe she's just like an OCD person that like likes her things in certain spots.
But in the bathroom?
I don't.
Well, you get it there beforehand, you know?
I'm judging her.
Do it.
I guess.
I did.
It's just because you do it in a different way. Laura is just like, let me reach over and bring it.
I'm trying to do this all in 10 minutes.
Well, you know, Laura's on a mission. She looks like she's got her priorities straight, though, you know?
It's good.
She's not
going to
waste
10
steps going
it.
To the bathroom where that 10 steps could be.
I have children.
She's
I don't have
kids.
That kind of time. Someone could wake up. Anything could happen.
So you need it fast and to the point.
It's really funny, though.
Yeah. So, Laura, where are you originally from? Where did you move
from?
I'm from
Northern California.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People think I'm from New York because I lived in New York for a while, but...
I see.
I'm from Northern California.
Uh-huh.
And then I lived here, and then I lived in New York, and then I lived back here, and I guess I'll stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a SoCal girl? Do you like it? You love it?
Love it.
Okay, good.
Well, I love it, but I don't believe in plastic surgery, so I'm not really someone who fits in well
here. You don't need plastic
surgery,
so, you know, when stuff starts hanging, call me.
Oh, no, things are hanging.
Really?
Things are hanging,
you look
yeah.
beautiful. You don't look like you need a little tuck and a trim.
Gosh, thank you, Karen.
No. Well, you can see, like...
come here more often.
No, you can see people that... not that I'm a big advocate for getting yourself sliced open, I mean, when you don't have to, but you can see some people that a little maintenance would help in that area. It's just genetics, I think, for some people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some people, they just have really good genes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody, once you start that, I don't know where you would stop.
Yeah.
So you just don't think there's really a cutoff. Like some people, you think a little, I mean, I haven't anything done yet, but I mean, I know in about 10 years, I'm probably going to get something staple gunned and jacked up a bit, freaking glue tape this back in place, you know. I don't know. I mean, if I can afford it, I might get some things lifted and, you know, let something sag, you know, do like a combo.
Well, I have multiple feelings about this. Mm-hmm. Did you ever read the Dr. Seuss book about the one, I think it's called the one-starred snitch or something. Anyway, so there's these funny looking, you know, Dr. Seuss kind of characters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they all look the same, but then one of them gets a star on their chest or something. Mm-hmm. And then they become very famous because they have a star on their chest. So someone makes a machine who can put stars on your chest, and all of a sudden everyone gets a star on their chest, and then they all look the same again.
Yeah.
So then they do a star removal machine and it goes back and forth. That's how I feel about plastic surgery right now in Los Angeles.
Right. That's actually a good point. That's
everybody true. Looks is starting to look the same. There's
right.
no distinct beauty, really.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so maybe I'll be that person who misses out because I'm missing on that boat, but maybe my kids will see somebody who's a little different and think it's beautiful.
Right.
So I don't know. Yeah. I'm like that, though.
No, there's a point to that, you know. I mean,
well,
you don't have to subscribe to it, you know, when you live here.
I think that I totally agree, and I think a lot of people are – it's like they're all going to the same surgeon or something.
Yeah.
Or they're saying, I want the same fish lips. You know, the lips that are, they're puffed inside out. And you're like, come on, guys. If we're going to just enhance what we have, I think it's possible. I don't know if it is, but I think it's possible to maybe tweak and just maintain who you look like or try to, if that's possible, versus getting this look done to you that's not even who you are.
Right.
And I think you see a lot of that where it's the same lips, the same inserted cheekbones, insert cheekbones
here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not even, you're like, I'm not buying that's your real bone structure.
No, and it's that pulled, that really weird kind of pulled look.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah,
if
the
they smile, it's only with their bottom lip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like
I
that.
I know. It changes the face completely. Like, look at Joan Rivers, for example. She's had many of them. She doesn't even look the way she used to anymore, you know?
Mm-mm.
It just, they stretch your face. I guess in a facelift, they really like lift your skin and pull it back, right?
Tuck it under your hair.
Yeah.
I was in makeup and this
terrible.
Lady showed me her scar. She's like, yeah, I just had a facelift. She was like, flips all the side of her head and she's got this gouge. And I'm like, that's just not sexy. Just do me a favor. When you're with a man, don't let him see that.
Yeah. People go all out, you know, and it's, they're so preoccupied with youth here and, you know, and being skinny and everything that that you never feel like you live up to that, you know? And that's why you have to not subscribe to that kind of attitude, you know? Just kind of, like you said, Laura, you know, just kind of stay unique, you know? Be you, you know? And people lose that in this town, unfortunately, you know? Because they try to be what they think people are looking for, you know? And
I agree with you. And I think I grew up in the era of the 80s film, right?
Right.
So we had, like, Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner in Romancing the Stone.
Uh-huh.
Now, neither one of them is classically gorgeous.
Right.
She was, like, curvy and unique and interesting, and I loved it. That was sexy to me. Men were men. Women were smart and interesting, and now it's like men are girls and girls are girls and nobody gets to be smart and everybody has to look the same.
Mm.
And they think that young girls who never look like that are going to buy their products because they think it'll make them look like that.
Right.
So it starts from the reverse, in my opinion.
Right.
I think we started here. We're the ones feeding that.
Mm.
And so every time someone says, yes, you know what, I shouldn't turn 35. Let me have some expensive plastic surgery done.
Mm.
You're just sort of continuing
I've
that
actually
cycle.
Heard that say it, that it's the older generations that basically siphon the youth and siphon the sexuality of younger people. Basically, they're the ones that want to live youthful. And so it kind of like they idolize youth, they and women are infantized, and it's kind of this idea that they want to kind of get to that, like, that pool of, like, immortality. And so they live through these little shows and they all try to be like that, and basically it kind of fuels these generations to be idolized, and then they're like a washout by the time they're 25, you know.
Yeah.
What do you do after that, you know? There's nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
You know, you're the hottest, the thinnest, the sexiest you're ever going to be, done.
It's over for me.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, but I do. I think it is very cyclical, just how, like, I think some of the older generations are like, you know, I don't know, put it on a pedestal, give it an unrightful place it shouldn't have. You know?
Well, I think it's chicken and the egg, too. And I deal with that a lot with our show, because it is so it's a woman's show. It's mm-hmm. a woman's talk radio show, Broad Topics is, and there's not a lot of that out there. In fact, right. I started it because there was nothing interesting for me to listen to. And yet people go, well, women's radio is, you know, who nobody buys it. It doesn't work. And I'm like, but it's chicken or egg. Maybe right. women aren't listening because there's not been anything that's really hitting a chord with them out there. And if there was a chance, mm-hmm. you know, for that to be out there, you know, our listeners are unbelievably loyal. Mm-hmm. Like, they email me from all over the country, all over the world, and say, oh my God, this, that, oh, and that guy and this girl.
Yeah.
They get very into what we had to say because mm-hmm. they feel like they can identify with us. And mm-hmm. I think that if any form of media was creating a realistic vision of women, especially, but people overall, because we're kind of here in LA in the basis of media
yeah,
land.
Crazy, yeah.
So if we were providing content that would actually strike a real chord with them, then maybe mm-hmm. they would buy products from those advertisers and do more because they're yeah. given the opportunity. Right now they're not.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you bring it up because mm-hmm. right now in talk radio and in the trade and stuff, they're talking about catering more to women, you
yeah.
know, because most talk radio is really just like conservative talk
yeah.
and politics and stuff. You know, there's not a lot of entertaining, relevant stuff, you know. So I hear you, you know, and your show's become very popular, and it's because you are taking a niche where not many people serve it, you know?
I think it's true. They saw that with Sex and the City, right? They mm-hmm. did the franchise, and then they did the movies, and it just was a crazy turnout. And even Meryl Streep was quoted saying there's a lot of stories that aren't being told because there's not a lot of... Like, women aren't carrying films as much as men. Women aren't the lead...
Right.
They're not... The women have been... you know, a minority or treated been marginalized for so long mm-hmm. that there's a lot of stories that aren't being told. There's a lot of the population whose voice isn't being activated. I mean, I see it when I do comedy because I do stand-up, and my stand-up is, I like being a girl. I don't hide it. I like being feminine, and I'm not pissed off. I'm a happy person. Deal with it. Sorry, it's not chic. And I get out there, and it's like a freaking frills to the max, a girl fest. And it's not just, it's neutral to a degree where guys can enjoy it too, and they mm-hmm. do enjoy it. But the crowd, there's a part of the audience that comes to life that was dormant.
Really?
Because they're not being engaged.
Right.
You know, a lot yeah. of women aren't being, their voices aren't being heard. Nobody's really, not a lot of people are speaking their language. And they're there, and they're kind of like, but they're not being really fully engaged.
Yeah.
And they're powerful. They're so powerful. You want them on your side.
You do. And the thing is, when media began in the form that we know now, in the 50s or the 40s or whatever, women were not a financial force
mm-hmm. right.
for advertising. Even though we did do the majority of the shopping, it was generally the men, you know, they were catering to the breadwinners. And now women bring home as much money as men do, and women right. spend even more.
Right.
So really, the fact that it hasn't caught up yet, that women are a pretty powerful advertising force, because it's right. all about the dollars, let's be honest. Everybody right. knows it's all about the dollars.
Right.
So if we can just push through the barrier, you know, if we get more women writers, more women producers, more women directors, mm-hmm. and start catering to that group, then yeah, that I think they will come. If you build it, they will come.
There
I do
go.
Believe that. I believe it.
Yeah.
I've experienced it. Too many women just sitting there with their little martini going, cling, 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 in their glass, and they're on a date. And
they're drunk.
They're not freaking having fun, and the guy's talking about his dick for like 10 hours on stage, and everybody's like, and the guy's like, he's so funny. And then, you know, and not just me, but you get like a really fun woman up there that's just free and having a good time, and women are relating, and then the laughter, it's not that even I'm getting more laughs, I'm igniting a part of your audience that's been sitting there numb the whole time.
Yeah.
And I see it.
I want to see your stand-up now, Karen.
I want to see it too. Oh my gosh.
No.
Yeah, I definitely will. Definitely yeah. will.
Rule the world.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I still can't believe that women get paid less than men for equal jobs. You
Isn't
know?
That amazing?
Yeah, I mean, in today's day and age, you know, it's like, I can't believe this, you know?
I agree
with you. But it happens all the time. We were just talking about this the other day. So, yeah, but women, I think, are being underserved in certain industries, you know, and I think they're like a force to be reckoned with, you know. And,
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely, you know. So, but things have changed, you know. Things have improved and stuff. But But then again, you know, I mean, you guys get to have sex toy parties. We don't.
You know? Well, you could, I guess.
I'm excited. I want to hear updates on this.
I know. I have to go check back and see if I can go. You know, now that I have two kids and everything, I have to ask permission all the time.
Right.
Can I go? Can I please?
Yeah.
Well, I'll trade you. What if you go there and I go here? You know,
my friend, she just recently had a baby. Same thing.
Yeah.
So she went from, like, single to, like, well, she's married, but we were still, like, you know, hanging. And now it's, like, baby's there, you know, damn baby.
Yeah.
No,
babies.
I love her. Yeah. I love her baby. She's, but I do. My heart goes out to her because I see that, you know, the trade off and the and like the little things that we take for granted and how much.
The
you know, you have to contort yourself to kind of get to her. Like, okay, I think I do a coffee in. Yeah, I could do the coffee. Okay, I'll see you there. You know,
yeah.
45 minutes. Okay, awesome. You know, it's like it's like moving mountains to do the simplest things. And
yeah, like shower and brush your teeth.
Yeah.
I know, but. But you know what, though? It does pass. I mean, it not pass completely until they get older, but right now I'm in the thick of it because I have two toddlers who are not in school yet. Like, that is hardcore. This is parenting advanced 101, you know? Right. This is
so you don't have time for anything else. I mean, you can't work or anything, right?
I do. Well, I do work because I do voiceover, but I do it. I have a studio in my home.
I see.
And
okay.
So I work out of there. And
that's
nice.
So cool.
Generally, while they are sleeping, which is funny because yesterday I had to do a video game voiceover and I had to scream.
Uh-huh.
And so I sent in all my stuff and it was, you know, it was the whole thing. And then the producer sends back and he's like, could you just do more of the scream? You seem like you're kind of holding back. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll wait till right before they need to get up and, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So I am able to work.
You're
and
like,
I
got two kids sleeping. Give me a break.
I know. Mama's trying to
get this volume on it.
My husband goes, why don't you get one of the kids to scream? Because they're really good at it. I was like, yeah, believe me, I know. But yeah, so I am able to work. And my husband has an office, but he's an editor. So his work, his time's a little flexible. So right. Between the two of us, we are able to work out when the jobs come up. It's just that I don't have a consistent, like, 9-to-5 job.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is cool. I mean, it makes it more flexible and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
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 So that's cool. So you're working on a video game now? Is that what
it is? I just finished yesterday.
So they give you, like, a character, and then you follow the script pretty much? And
yeah, I did. It was for a helicopter...
simulation type
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, kind of simulation game. So I had to do... descent to 1,000 feet.
Oh, I see.
Descent to 2,000 feet.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It is.
I was laughing because a friend of mine has always said I should be one of those answering machine voices for sex, like the sex lines.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, welcome to Joey Fatone's porn line. For anal, press 1.
Yeah.
For breast, press 2.
Yeah, like you've got like that breathy kind of like. I'm all like soothed over here. And
for midgets, press 4.
Yeah, burp, there we go. So funny. Oh yeah, your voice would be great for that. I'm all like half sleeping now. Do you see this look in my eyes? I'm kind of like.
Kara, you are getting sleepy.
I am.
You want to quit smoking.
And start having sex.
I don't even smoke.
And you will not have sex with that man. Put him down.
There you go. So let me ask you the sex toy thing. You've already gone.
No.
So,
well, not in a long time.
Yeah, but you've been to one. So is there an expectation now? I would think that things have got to show up and show out. It's got to be bigger and better now. And if you get there and if it's like the same bullshit that, you know, like freaking rabbit, you're like, look, it's rabbit in a different color. We've been there. We know.
So 97 of you.
Yeah. Give me something else. I mean, give me like a huge ass contraption that throws me around and swings me and like, woo, or something like that.
You know, I hadn't thought that, but I will expect that now.
I mean, I would. If I've already been to one and I keep getting invited, I'd be like, what shit are you pushing? What you got now? What? I've already got that. You know, I've already got the Transformer Rabbit 3000, you know, like.
Well, you know, it's been like maybe 10 years since I went to
it. Oh, it has?
One.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that maybe there's some sort of computer chip involvement, an MP3,
yeah,
you
it's evolved
iTunes,
quite a bit, I'm sure. I'm sure it's evolved quite a bit. And now they do like all kind of designer toys and everything, you know, like great designs. You think like they made it at Apple or something, you know.
Like I want like iPod. A voice remote,
yeah.
You know, controlled something. Please turn. Faster, faster, slower.
That's
faster.
Funny. That's funny.
I do the voice for that. Now come
you will
on.
Be reaching your destination.
Descent to 1,000
If you keep
feet.
This rhythm going, you will be reaching your
in 3.2 seconds.
There will be a yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so.
Funny.
How long have you been married now?
I have been married. It'll be 7 years in October.
Really?
And we've been together almost 11.
Really?
That's a
yeah.
Lifetime in LA.
In LA, it is. And you know, when I met him, I thought such a spinster. You know, really? I thought I was the old lady who was never going to get married, and I was always sort of very cosmopolitan. I lived in New York, and I dated and had all these dramas, you know.
A drama.
Yeah, I had wrote lots of sad songs with records and things, but I did. I met my husband, and he lived here, and I lived in New York, and we said it would never last. And
really?
He came to New York for a couple of weeks, and then I came out here, quote, with, I'm using air quotes right now, for pilot season, quote, because when you live in New York, performers always think they can just pop out here for pilot season.
I know, isn't
it? Everyone will care that they've been on Broadway, but they don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, they love that I can belt a C. They don't care. But anyway, so I moved out here and kept my apartment until just a few years ago.
Really?
Seriously?
Yeah, I moved out here in 99.
Wow.
Wow.
It was rent controlled in Midtown.
Yeah.
Come on, my friends.
How can you argue with that, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's hard to let go of.
It is, but I had kids. I figured I'm probably not going back.
Yeah.
This was going to work out.
You're like, we're locked in now. We're locked in.
Yeah.
So you came out here for pilot season, and it was more just like hang out with him?
Well, yeah, and it's like kind of a long story. I went to school here. I had always assumed I would move back here. This is sort of, I'm not a New York kind of person. I got really annoyed all the time when I was there.
Really?
I mean, I'm sort of irritable anyway, but in New York it was like, just to go, okay, you walk out the door and $50 is gone. That's New York.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
And then I lived on a fourth floor walk-up. So to do my laundry, I actually had to take it down to the basement, so five floors down.
Really?
I mean, everything was just a pain in the ass. It was so difficult
hard,
to do anything.
Right? Hard living?
Yeah, and I loved it because I was young and I was able to, I was very career-driven, and you can be a lot more aggressive there than you can here, where you have to sort of sit around and wait for people to call you. But it was not where I saw myself living. So I came out here. I used to come out here every year anyway, just for visiting and whatever. That sounds very Southern. Just for a visit. I'll come out a visit.
That's sweet.
So I came out and I got a sublet, you know, sublet my apartment for a couple months and thought, well, we'll just kind of see where this goes, you know. And then I kind of stayed and here I am.
I mean, for a while, did you have a long-distance relationship?
Yeah, for about 3 months.
3 months. So it's not too bad.
No.
Yeah.
That's like nothing. I did it for like a year and something. That's torture.
I did it before.
You did?
Yeah, not with him, but with somebody else.
Yeah.
And
right.
It was horrible.
It's not horrible.
Even a relationship. I mean, it's like all vacationing.
It's not. Then you're on the phone all the time because you can't do anything else.
So, spend a lot of time missing the person.
What I realize is that, you know, when you're together physically, there's a lot of time spent without talking.
Yeah.
But when you're at a distance, the only connection you have is talking. So you start, after a while, you just start saying shit, you know, because you don't have any more things to say. You get yourself into trouble, you know?
Yeah.
And then you drunk call. Don't do that. It's always
drunk
bad.
Drunk call, yeah. But a relationship is about, I think, having someone there when you need them, you know? And let's say you just feel, you know what, honey, let's just go out for dinner or something. You can't do that with a long-distance relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's that's why I think they're tough, you know? Some people thrive on that, but for the most part, I don't think they work, you know?
No, and when I did the long-distance relationship, it was before the internet.
Ooh, yeah.
And
hardcore.
Before the cell phone.
Yeah.
And I dated someone who was on tour.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't even like they were in one place. I had to kind of fly all over the country to catch up and that kind of a thing. And
do we know the tour person?
You probably know the tour. I doubt you know the person.
Okay, you want to tell us? I want to know.
Well, I did the national tour of Greece.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So I did a year and he came out in the end and he stayed on and I left.
Oh, I gotcha.
So,
okay.
Okay. All right. Sum 11. Anyway. Ask me anything about Greece. Trust me.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, if I feel like there's something being held back, and it may not even be that important.
Okay,
like,
it was Michael Bolton.
I'm like, tell me. I can just feel. I feel you're not telling me a detail that I think
she
might be good. It may not even be a great detail, but I just kind of felt that anonymity a bit, and I was like, no. Mm-mm.
Wouldn't that have been great if it was like it was Prince?
Yeah.
Well, in this town, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, that's true.
I met a lady I worked with stuffing envelopes at a damn freaking temp job, and you know, she was the boss lady, and she like dated this big time 80s actor dude and has stories for days about it, and it was funny, and it's not like somebody that we're going to care about today, but the fact that you knew him, you know, that kind of thing. I didn't know if we were going there. That's why I had to stop. Check in. Anyway, back to you. So Greece. So
I was just saying that I realized that I spent a lot of time dating people who were gone because I wasn't really ready for a relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was traveling all over the place. I was doing other things, and I didn't really want to be tied down. So I would date someone who was gone a lot, so then I could blame them.
Yeah,
it would never be my
true.
Fault that I couldn't find a relationship.
Yeah.
But then I set myself up for the same situation when I met my husband, but then he just kept sticking around.
Really?
No, it was totally
funny.
Yeah. They say when you meet the right person, you know. I absolutely knew.
Yeah.
Shortly into
How did you guys meet?
Okay. He likes to say this way, and then I'll explain. He always says we met in a whorehouse.
Uh-huh. I love it. Matchmen having
Which is true. Good. We met doing a production of The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
I see. That's so okay.
cute. In Texas, in Austin, actually.
Oh, really?
And so he was brought in from L.A. I was brought in from New York to do this, you know, six-week gig or whatever it was. And that's how we met.
Really?
Yeah, it was
wow,
very short.
Neat,
it was
huh?
never
so
meant to last.
So he is a musical theater dude.
He was when we met, yeah. And now he doesn't really do it anymore. About maybe 10, 15 years ago, he started his own company. Well, I guess it was 10 because it was after we met. But and he, you know, he just kind of done the run of all of it, and he wanted mm-hmm. to move on to something new. And he turns out to be the world's most amazing videographer and editor and
oh wow
and producer and director, you know, media creator. And he's amazing at it. And so he literally started his business. Never once has had to advertise. Never once has been in the red. That's the bad part, right?
Really?
I know. Yeah. I don't understand.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he just took off like a shot, and he yeah. still does. And now he's, you know, got more work than he can handle, and he's trying to figure out how to expand. So, you know, so we kind of lucked out in that way. Yeah. But it also, because we have kids and because I'm a performer and I go all over the place, you know, we have some flexibility there because editing is sort of something you can do when you have the time.
Right,
I mean, not,
right.
you have to make the hours, but he could do it at 10. He could do it at 1. He could do it, you know, he can move
That's
around
so
a little
cool.
bit.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we're a perfect couple. Be
yeah.
jealous.
Yeah.
I am jealous. No, I love hearing people's stories like that. I love hearing how it's like, yeah, and then we were here and boom.
Yeah, yeah, we used to, when we first met, we worked together all the time.
Did
you would have
really?
Seen us. We did something at the Hollywood Bowl together.
Uh-huh.
We did all sorts of gigs together. We
That's
argued
cool.
on stage at the Hollywood Bowl.
Really?
Yeah, don't do that when you're dating somebody. It's
That's
bad.
Funny.
Yeah.
yeah.
So there you go.
But it's cool when you can find like a soulmate and, you know, you feel like we're it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool. And you seem to be happy and stuff. You know,
I love my I'm so yeah. lucky. I don't know how I ended up that way.
Really?
Honestly,
yeah.
I thought I was just destined to be a little more dramatic than that. And I ended up with exactly the life I grew up with.
Really?
You know,
yeah.
the perfect marriage, a house, two kids, two cars. No
yeah.
dogs.
That's
yeah. No dogs.
I know, no animals, huh?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I know. I can't take animals, you know, living in the same house with me.
Really?
You know, I love like dogs and stuff, but as long as it's someone else's, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love dogs.
Do you really? Are you a dog person?
I mean, I don't have one because I live in a small little apartment. But when I make it one day, big flashy lights. I'm gonna have a dog. I think I'm gonna name him Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt.
Or Goose or Moose or Bubble or. Something cute, you know, Mumble. I've been thinking about it.
Obviously.
I want a big fluffy fur bag dog I could take and like take hiking and, you know, then make out my dog in front of everybody.
Are you going to get the dog after you find the guy, or are you going to be celibate and get the dog?
I don't think I want to go that freaking depressing and lonely. I don't know. No, I haven't thought about it. But no, I've got like 4 potential soulmate meetings this week.
Is that what you kids call the dates nowadays?
It's a joke. Yeah, no, I'm going on a couple dates this week, so it's funny. We were talking about soulmates. Yeah. I was like, well, you never know.
Where are you going to go?
I don't exactly know. I'll probably go grab a drink somewhere, something real wholesome, real drink, real nice beverage with all
yeah.
in it.
Like Taco
See,
Bell.
I just feel sorry
no.
for all the guys that date her because they don't know what they're up against, you know.
Well, I mean, it's not like I'm a super Puritan or anything. It's just something I kind of want to experience
right.
with my partner. You
right.
know, I've done it the other way. It's not like I'm some virgin. But
yeah, but as we know, most people just would like a little piece of ass, you know. And
well,
and
I got a lot of
it.
Ass here, so I'm going to
have
to find some smaller ass. They want a little piece. This shit ain't little.
But you know, that's a weeding out process is what you're doing. You're
it
filtering.
Is. It is.
Because if they are guys that just are getting in touch with you so they can get mm-hmm. laid, after a
yeah,
date or two,
yeah.
they're gonna, you know, pitter away.
Yeah, I was seeing this Italian dude, and he was bella 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 bella. I was like, look, I'm having a blast, and we could keep this up because it is fun. But the reality is I'm not in it to win it the way you are. So,
uh-huh.
you know, pull out any minute, the pun intended, so to speak. No, but my point is like, look, it's just not gonna go down that way. And
yeah.
I think he thought it was like a hard to get thing. He's like, no problem, relax, it's fine. I'm like, I'm relaxed. I don't know if you are, but. I'm totally having a great time, but no, it got to where he was like, he
yeah.
couldn't do it. And I respect that. Like, hey, if it's not your thing, I'm not trying to change you.
Yeah.
So don't try
you see,
to
I just think when you meet someone who's right for you,
mm-hmm.
that there's a
it'll
connection
click.
There.
Click.
Yeah, it'll click, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you won't have to say that, you know.
I agree. I
you
think
just go along.
We talked about this on my show the other day. It was like, you know, there's all these rules. Oh, don't
mm-hmm.
do this. Do that. Third date. Sixth date. You know, da, da, da.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to meeting somebody who you click with,
yeah.
it doesn't matter
I
when you
right.
have sex or what you say or when you hold hands or who opens the door, because it's sort of a path that you guys are going to mm-hmm. go on regardless. Mm-hmm. But if it's the wrong person, then all those little things can trip you up along the way.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
so profound this morning.
Yeah. Oh, man. You are deep. Dropping the truth,
pearls
girl.
Pearls of wisdom here.
Dropping the heat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I'm sure the audience is bombarded with my sex talk about celibacy, so I won't bore them to death.
That's okay. We're just about out of time
anyway.
Pretty
much. There you go.
So, Laura, go ahead and promote your show again for us so everybody knows.
All right. Tuesday nights, live 7 to 9 p.m. right here on LA Talk Radio. Broad topics.
Broad topics.
Yay. Broad topics.
So you're still with Joan, but you have two new ones right now?
Joan has been with me from the beginning.
Right.
Joan is my surly Catholic Republican, completely the opposite human being of me.
Uh-huh. You gotta have opposite.
Oh my God! And
it's entertaining.
We had an episode on global warming.
Oh, I bet that was intense.
It was intense, but you know mm-hmm. what? It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got the director of Climate Works Foundation mm-hmm. on the phone, and he and Joan was just like, "Well, I think you're wrong. I don't believe you. Global warming is a myth." You know. And then now we have two conservatives and two liberals.
I respect that because
the View, which I like the View, but mm-hmm. my only view on the View. Is that it's not a balanced viewpoint. I think it's a lot of very liberal views and then one conservative that looks like a
and they beat her up every day.
Well, and she's so defensive because she's the only opposing viewpoint.
Yeah.
I just think they shouldn't have a variety.
Yeah, we actually have. I'm sort of the liberal Democrat on the far side, and then Joan's the Catholic Republican cat lady on the other side. And then now we have Stacey Lewis, who's actually a mother, amazingly bright, bright, funny woman, who's also a Republican, but she works, she has to follow more of a liberal uh-huh. background, so she's like slightly in the more towards the middle. And then we have Megan Sewell, who's new, who's an improv comedian. She's amazing,
cool.
So funny. Also a liberal on my side, but also, again, a little less on the far extreme. So we
yeah.
have all the colors of the rainbow. If you want to visit us or talk to us, we have a website now, broadtopicsradio.com, so you mm-hmm. can always visit us there. We have a blog and mm-hmm. forum, that kind of a thing. So come and listen
That's
to
great.
Our show.
Yeah,
sounds
I like
good.
That.
Absolutely.
It sounds very flavorful.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, you know. I mean, and I enjoy listening to it sometimes, and I'm not a woman, you know, but
yeah.
it's fun to
I know, because I love Sam, because Sam has a sweet little feminine side. He reads his Jackie Collins,
I do have
too.
A feminine side,
I
yeah.
know, I love it about you, though. It's like there's just like an openness there. It's just really sweet. So I bet you get your little mojitos. You listen to Broad Topics with a Jackie Collins, and he's like, life is good.
Talk to me again about hair and shoes.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, that's one of the things I don't get into, but maybe, who knows, you know, as I get older. Anyway, Laura, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All the best to you with the kids and the husband and everything.
Thanks.
And Kara, thank you so much again.
Sam, it's been really real.
Okay, enjoy your date tonight, and we'll hear all about it tomorrow,
okay.
I'm sure.
You will.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.